In this clip, Taviano has just told Paul that he is a vampire. We pick up in chapter 4. Paul trembled in Taviano's arms, but made no effort to disengage. "Well, that makes more sense than ninja," he finally said. "Then I don't know what to think about that." Leaning back enough to meet his eyes, Taviano found belief and acceptance, coupled with nothing more than slight shock. Paul wasn't afraid of him, just stunned. The trust staggered him. "You don't have to think anything about it, Paul. It just is." Taviano brushed a thumb over Paul's lower lip. "I'm glad you believe me, but why do you?" Paul licked the thumb against his mouth and clutched Taviano more surely. "Honestly, I'm not sure. But what I saw you do, and then the thing with your blood on my cut, and your fangs..." He choked off and trembled violently in Taviano's arms, though he never let go. "Holy fuck! You're a vampire!" Concern shot through Taviano and woke his demon, but it realized the lack of danger and quieted again with no fuss. Nevertheless, Taviano remained on guard against it as he swore, "I promise I won't hurt you." Paul rested his head against Taviano's shoulder, and that was response enough. The quivering in his body eased and quieted until, amazingly, he gave a small chuckle. "My nonna says I should ask more questions before I bring someone home." "You talk to your grandmother about your, men?" Taviano heard the scandalized edge to his own question. Paul raised his head long enough to smirk. "Not the deets, duh. She's super cool, except she thinks I'm not careful enough."
"She's right, of course."
"Oh, not you too," Paul smiled broadly and pushed at Taviano's shoulder. "Sides, I'm all talk. I hook up once, maybe twice a month, and we always use rubbers." A peculiar feeling stirred in Taviano's chest and made him clench his jaw. A sudden image flashed in his head, of tracking the most recent man whose seed spattered the futon. He saw himself plunge fangs into the cretin's neck for touching Paul. The satisfaction that vision produced had nothing to do with feeding. Vaguely, his demon throbbed with amusement. When Taviano realized it was laughing at him, he became flustered. To cover, he said again, "I wouldn't hurt you, Paul. Soon I'll help you forget, and it can all be over." The shine in Paul's face dimmed, and he asked in a low voice, "Will you... can I at least remember it as a hot dream? I mean, how many people get it on with a vampire?" Taviano smiled. "Yes, I could do that for you. But it doesn't have to be right away, does it?" Tilting Paul's chin up, he could look into those lovely blue eyes as he asked, "You know what I am now. Would you let me kiss you anyway?" Paul didn't even answer, but lunged for Taviano's lips like he starved for the contact. If there had been passion before, this time there was fire. His tongue was agile and coaxing, drawing Taviano onward with increasingly desperate moans. He tugged at his lower lip with teeth and used the tip of his tongue to probe gently at Taviano's fangs. Obviously fascinated by the needle-sharp points, he licked up each deadly spike. The intimacy of that raspy touch over first the left fang, then the right, made Taviano stiffen with alarm. Then the sheer daring of it broke through his reserve. With a growl deep in his throat, he pressed Paul against a wall. As Paul's words had let Taviano enter his apartment, so his grip called the vampire to enjoy his body. And enjoy it he did. He explored freely with his hands, roaming up and down Paul's arms as he plundered Paul's mouth. He caged Paul with his body, conscious of his own strength and the fragility of the man in his arms. Finally, Paul broke the embrace and sagged, gasping. "Oh, man, you got game."
"What does that mean?"
Paul pressed his forehead to Taviano's. "It means you kiss great. Like, seriously great.